I want to make is that a person's emotions towards learning should not be the same as his emotions are in the mundane world towards, for instance, accumulating money or having possessions or different things, you know, accumulating something. I mean, the learning, the emotions towards learning have to be, his feelings, it have to be towards learning in terms of perfection. Perfection that he's after. Because perfection gives the person the greatest life. It's the perfection that he's after. That's the way his emotions are. Learning is the greatest pleasure, the greatest enjoyment, right? So therefore, a person should learn for the true reason, which means lishma, that this is really the greatest enjoyment, right? Because you see, like I told you once, the only bracha that has, that mentions enjoyment, is the bracha of Talmud Torah. To say, ha'arev noa the Hashem alaykein es diris ha'rascha b'finu, v'fiv yitzhamcha b'yisov, v'ni'anachna v'alcha, v'ni'anachna v'tzatzen, v'ni'anachna v'kolon yoreh shemecha v'lom nesar sech lishma. So the bracha defines what Torah lishma is. You don't have to go too far. It's right in the bracha. Ha'arevna. What's ha'arevna? Sweet. Tasty. Doesn't say, you don't make a bracha on lulav that lulav should be tasty. You understand? Because there's no Indian over there then. It's a different thing. But Talmud Torah has to be lishma. The niyanach is a colonial lishma. It's ha'arevna. Has to be something that he loves, that he does it for its own sake. Okay? So now the question was asked like this. The question is, what's wrong if a person person enjoys learning, he enjoys thinking? So he sits down, he smokes a cigar on Shabbos, and he works to a cigar. So what's wrong with that? Guys are in the highest level. Lady said, no, it's no good. Why? I'm asking a basic thing. I mean, guys in the yeshiva, guys, I'm asking you, you're learning all these years, I mean, you understand a basic thing? So this is a simple thing. How can you say you understand Torah when you tell me you don't even know why you have to keep the locking system? So the question is, what's wrong with a guy if he just learns and he doesn't keep the halachic system? So Levi says, because the halachic system is the system that leads him to perfection. So besides the learning, he needs the halachic system. So therefore, if he doesn't keep the halachic system, so therefore what? So therefore he's not going to be as happy, right? Alright, so I ask you a question. Who's going to be happier? A person who keeps the halachic system, right?
And doesn't learn,
or a person who learns and doesn't keep the halachic system? So what will you tell me?
Who's
going to
be happier?
Today. Twice Yates and Talmud Torah with Krishna, right? Twice a day. Okay? He keeps the halachic system. But he's not really involved in Torah and Talmud Torah. He can't say, bro, you didn't break Tayag Mitzvahs. Like I think I told you many times. When Moshe said, if a person doesn't learn all day, a person's business, he can't say that he's doing an Avera. He says, that's Midas Chassidus. But the Tayag Mitzvahs is the Kayim 100%. I'm going to say everybody's having Averas. Anybody goes to work is having Averas. Unless Ramses 3 hours work and the rest of the day learning. But he says, no, that's a higher level. But Tayag Mitzvahs is Krishma Chakras Varvas. There's more of them, I'll tell you. But who is getting more enjoyment out of life? The person who sits and learns and doesn't keep the lock system, the person who keeps the lock system doesn't sit and learn.
They tell me
the guy who learns. Ah, so since it's the guy who learns, so isn't it odd indeed to say that the person who learns will be chayav misa bezin with stonim, and a person who keeps the halachic system and is a brisi hefar and everything. I mean, the destroyed person who doesn't keep the halachic system is chayav kores and kliya boilam hazeh boilam haba. In the man, his soul is totally destroyed. The Torah says, right? I mean, we can't deny what the Torah says. This guy is involved. And this other guy's involved in learning. You think on the contrary, he's involved in learning. That's the highest thing. So why should he be destroyed? The other fellow who kept the system, you see, has a chelik in olam habah, coach olam chelik in olam habah. He might not be a chelik in a Rambam, but he has a chelik in olam habah. Be happy, nice little place there. Yes? So how do you explain it? How do you understand it? I mean, isn't this question bother you? The question was, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, right? So, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam means it's more than all the mitzvahs. Learning in the Gadlus is more than all the mitzvahs, right? So it should result that if a person learns Torah and doesn't keep the mitzvahs, he shouldn't be in such a bad way, because he's doing the highest thing, he's doing the greatest thing. So why is it if he learns Torah and he's Mechal Shabbos, he's Chayav Misa? Consider him the worst, and if he didn't learn Torah and he kept Shabbos, he's not. He's considered a Jew in good standing. He's in good shape. Yesh lechev on a ball. He's in good shape. So how could you explain such a phenomena?
I guess what I would
say, right? Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam means that this is more important than anything else.
So if that's the case, we should weigh, the man is doing the most important thing. He's not keeping Shabbos. Shabbos isn't important in the Stam Torah. This is more important. He's doing the greatest. Yes. Karis. Karis. Chayv Karis. If a person mechal Shabbos, Chayv Karis. Karis. If a man's Chayv Karis, I don't think he has much of a chayvim left. Karis is, that's it. He's cut off completely. Karis the Karis. Chayv Karis. Karis, a person will learn Torah and will boil a nida. Right? He won't keep nida. So, I think, what's such a terrible thing? Guy sits and learns all the time, and one halacha doesn't keep. Karis the Karis, he's a chayv karis. Karis is Baal Mazda and Lala Mabba too. There's different shittas and karis, but I mean, but many hold that way, that karis is both. Yeah.
Are you talking about. But he enjoys other things also.
Huh?
He enjoys.
He's only learning. He doesn't enjoy anything else.
Smoking.
Yeah, you're cool.
It's a good one. It's a nice mitzvah for learning.
If you tell me this is the most important thing, right? So that means I don't know if I'm learning. I just can't be bothered with stopping when it comes to Shabbos. He's used to smoking. He smokes periodically. And he doesn't want to be bothered. This man, it's true that this man is learning, but he's just an atheist. So therefore, deservedly.
Is he really learning? That's the question. I'm questioning. He says the man is learning. I contend the man is not.
So you're not relating to him then. You're saying a new point. Are you relating to what he said?
No, I'm relating.
You're saying it's true that while the man is learning, but the man is an atheist. So therefore, his learning does not involve any perfection because he's not learning for the right reason, which is to gain from the learning, right? But he's just learning for his own enjoyment, right? Now the problem with that is this. For the pursuit of knowledge is learning. Now the problem in that is one thing. The problem is that according to the way we understand the definition of Talmud Torah, that's precisely the aim of Talmud Torah. Just to learn for the pursuit of knowledge and for no other reason. That's Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma means to enjoy and the pursuit of knowledge. That's what Torah is. For say Vaharevna, the only bracha that you have where you mention the fact that you have to enjoy it. You say, brother, Vaharevna, whatever it is. But the point is, you see that there's a tefillah, it's like almost a tefillah over there, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should make it sweet and enjoyable, the learning. Because the purpose of learning is only for one thing, just for knowledge itself. That's the purpose of Yadis. That's why the Rishalmi says that one word of Talmud Torah is worth more than all the mitzvahs. Why? Because the purpose of learning is just for learning itself. Just for knowledge itself. Okay? Who is learning for that purpose, seemingly? Right? And if he's learning for that purpose, then he should be in the highest level. So why should we be Chayav Karis? You see, if you're going to say, you couldn't ask this question to a Lahavdil, to a Christian. Why? Because a Christian would say, you're off the wall. We don't respect knowledge. What we say is, the main thing is religion, religiosity. How are the religious emotions? Right. But the point is, you see, Yadis has a strange type of formulation, because Yadis maintains knowledge for the sake of knowledge. That's essential, and that's Talmud Torah Kinei Kulam. It's more than everything. It's knowledge for the sake of knowledge. Now, since we have that premise, so then we're caught up in this contradiction. If it's knowledge for the sake of knowledge, so here you have a man who just enjoys, sits back, smokes his pipe, and enjoys knowledge on Shabbos, you know, which seems to be doing a wonderful thing, and yet the man is chayav karis. You see, so you can't tell me that he lacks religiously. Because according to our religion, that seems to be the premise. That's what he's supposed to be doing. See, if he is according to the other religions, and by the way, this is the only religion that has this. Other religions maintain that religiosity is nothing more than a certain type of emotional perfection, you see, emotional perfection. Whereas Yadus maintains it's an intellectual perfection. If that's the case, so then you have a conflict. I mean, is on the other hand, you'll tell me, but Yadus seems to indicate the other way, that religiosity is not just a perfection of knowledge. In that case, we say what we're saying is we have somewhat of a contradiction. On the one hand, it seems to be just knowledge. On the other hand, it seems not to be knowledge. So that's the question. You know what I mean? You know, if he's at such a high level, so he should be able to refrain very easily. You're right. Maybe he can refrain very easily. Well, maybe he can't. I mean, I really don't know. But the point is, let's say he just doesn't care. He just does not care. Okay, now what do you want to... Now, that's really the question. The question is that how could I say that Talmud Torah Kenegad Kulam when it's really... Where does Avas Hashem fit in? Or
right.
More, let me put it a little differently. What you brought up before, you know, the way you mentioned before, actually he's like complimenting what you said before. In other words, the question is, what is the core of Yahadus? Is the core of Yahadus a certain religiosity as we know it? The question does our religion accept a certain religiosity, or is it knowledge? I mean, that's the question. That's the question that he's asking. Is it Talmud Torah Kenegad Kulam, or is it Avas Hashem? I mean, how does it fit in? Yes. Yes, as a person is lomade, he's saying that it's an impossibility to have. In other words, that knowledge, if knowledge really, knowledge should have a certain beneficial effect on the soul, right? And it's the beneficial effect on the soul which is the essence, right, of what religiosity is, consists of. Now, what he's saying is that our question is an inherent contradiction, because we're saying that a person has knowledge, and yet he doesn't. There is no benefit to his soul, right? Okay. I'll show you that it is true that a person can have knowledge, and yet it not be beneficial to his soul. Okay? The Gemara says, a person who learns lakanter, a person who learns for the express purpose of exhibiting his ego and destroying others, that a person like that, it would have been better if he never would have been born, which means, in plain language, he has no chevron labar. That's what it means. Okay? The Gemara says that a person should always learn Torah lishma. Why? So because if a person doesn't learn Torah lishma, a person should always learn Torah, even shlo lishma, because it comes to lishma, at least to lishma. All right. Lishma means for its essential purpose. But you see, if a person's lomid lekanter, and the Gemara says about certain tanoim that were made, certain mayors al yichnas tamid or mayor lekan, because lekant lekantreni balachas. So the Gemara says that you see that we're talking about big people who have a tremendous amount of knowledge. You can't tell me they don't have the knowledge. So obviously a person can have the knowledge and still not have the beneficial effect on his soul. Moreover, in another case, the Gemara says that besides Lema Lakanta, the Gemara says, V'sam tem, zocha, if a person is zocha, nasa lo sam chayim. So the learning becomes it's like a medicine of life. Lo zocha, nasa lo sam amavis, becomes a poisonous substance which destroys him. What becomes a poisonous substance? The Talmud Torah. So it would seem that a person could have knowledge of Torah, and yet it would harm him, as a matter of fact. Not only won't it benefit him, but it'll be actually a harmful agent and destroy him. How could you possibly explain that? How could knowledge, which has such a beneficial effect in one instance, yet have a harmful effect in another instance? Is the knowledge really such a great thing? It would seem odd indeed, the same substance can cause hot and cold. I mean, it's an odd phenomena. Yes. Certain people, Tamir Reb Meir was lacking in the knowledge. I mean, I'll show you. I mean, talking about people, the Gemara's not talking. When the Gemara says a person is lomid lakanta, the Gemara doesn't mean he doesn't need namarts. The Gemara is giving. Acher wasn't lacking. Reb Meir used to follow Acher. Acher didn't have a chevron al habor. Chazal mispalef him, whole story. But he was definitely a
not lacking.
Yeah, he was definitely not lacking, like Donnie says in Talmud Torah.
Wow!
Guy learns Lishma, Torah Lishma. I'm not talking about a guy that learns Lishma. Guy learns Lishma for the real reasons. Yes. The Yad Ruchim is that the person who is perfected in those areas, even if he's not perfected in Torah, but perfected in those areas, is on a very high level.
Einstein.
Well, I don't know about Einstein. I mean, it's a difference. The man, Einstein is a man who experienced Avas Hashem, but according to the Rambam's definition. But because he says that when he studies the universe, you see, he's filled with an awe of a being who created and organized the whole universe. I mean, something like that.
What?
Yeah, the way people keep orthodoxy, I would say the man was right. But the point is the man had no knowledge in that area. I don't know if you could blame the man for that. I mean, the man had no knowledge.
About Zionists.
That's right. Recognize God of the universe. Now, the God of Israel, I mean, he didn't recognize and he didn't have any ability to yeah, because there was no way that he could do it. You can't expect a wise person to do a foolish action in terms of his state. I mean, if he had like somebody like the Rav or somebody to explain it to him, it would be a different story. But the man was totally ignorant of Yadis. Totally, no basis at all Yadis. But can talk him to the recognition of a God of the universe, I mean, which Yadis certainly accepts. So on his own is a tremendous level. He can't say, he can't make light of it. He can't say it's nothing. That's the mitzvah of Avos Hashem. Avos Hashem, the Rambam says, when a person perceives the universe and understands the universe, it's a high level, and he sees the order, and he perceives that there is a deity behind this, he says, that's Avos Hashem, and this he had. This mitzvah he had. Yes. I am mistaken in the question. There's one mistake in the question. See, the mistake is there is over here a statement which is unclear, an ambiguity here. The ambiguity is in the term that we mentioned, learning lishma, learning for its own sake, for enjoyment. What does enjoyment mean? That's the question. I mentioned a chess player. A chess player also has enjoyment. But the question is the enjoyment of the moves? You see? In other words, a person just enjoys, it's cute the way it works, you see? Nice question, answer. Okay? That's the enjoyment, and there is such an enjoyment. And such an enjoyment is found in other things besides Torah. It's found in chess also. But certainly you'll never find the Chachmei Yisrael mentioning, even Chachmei Moshe Olam, as a matter of fact, who say that the enjoyment of chess brought them to greater realizations about God. And that wouldn't, that doesn't happen. And the reason is because in that type of situation, what you're enjoying is the novelty of the moves. You know what I mean? The cuteness of the moves. It's nice. You see an idea. It's something which gives a person enjoyment. A person gives you a little cute little question answer. Nice. But that is not the enjoyment of Torah Lishma. See, that's not the enjoyment of Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma doesn't mean the guy sits back and just enjoys the moves. That's not the enjoyment. Because if that was the case, then you'd say anybody that's involved, any person. That any person, for instance, you'd say, like they always say, well, if that's the case, the college professor sits back on with his pipe and enjoys an idea in biology, he's involved in Chochmas Hashem. He's on a tremendous level. The guy's an apicurus, he's an atheist, he doesn't have any, tell me he's on a high level. And the answer is, see, he might enjoy the way it works. It's nice, it's cute. You study the body, you see how it works, very nice, everything's in order. But if you just enjoy the novelty of the way it works, that's not really the enjoyment of Torah. That's not the real enjoyment of Lishma. What is the enjoyment of Lishma? The enjoyment of Lishma is one thing. It's the enjoyment of reality. That's the enjoyment. The person who learns Lishma is a person who enjoys the reality of the realities of those things which exist, you see? Now, if he's involved in existence, really, in understanding existence, what he enjoys is the fact that now he sees how things really operate. He's getting closer to true existence. See, that's the enjoyment that he has. That's already a different enjoyment. See, that's why when if a person understands a pasuk in the Chumash, and through it, what is his purpose in learning? Just to understand the way Rashi goes up and back, and then follow the thing. Oh, I follow. It's very good. It goes this way. That's all cheshmin. That's not really lishma. See, it's just enjoying the cheshmin. Cheshmin might be a nice thing to enjoy, or even an idea, concept. Might be enjoyable. But does he enjoy the fact that it has appeal to him, the idea, or does he enjoy it because it discloses some reality which he's searching for? You understand what I mean? And what he enjoys is the reality behind it. Do you know what I'm saying? See? Now, in chess is a good example. Chess, there's no reality. I mean, the reality is the same reality. Move across the board is based on reality. But it's cute the way he moves this way, maneuver that way. It's maneuvers. He enjoys the maneuvers in the chess. But a person doesn't come with new ideas of reality away from a chess game. You see? He comes with new cute moves. Hey, I can move now. I found if you move this one, then it goes this way. Or that way. Ah, that's like it. So he doesn't come up with new reality. He comes up with an enjoyment of how maneuver, an enjoyment of maneuvers. You see? Now, the same thing in learning. If a person enjoys the enjoyment of maneuvers, that's not really the that's not Vaharevna. That's why I asked before. I said, is he Mekayim Vaharevna? He enjoys it. He said, yes. The answer is no. He's not Mekayim Vaharevna. Because Vaharevna is to... What should be sweet in Vaharevna? What do you want? What should be sweet? Yeah. Understanding, getting closer, understanding the realities behind the halacha. You have halachic phenomena, now you see you understand the reality behind the halachic phenomena. That is the enjoyment of Ha'arevna. See, now you understand. If, however, I was appreciating the idea. One thing is, I could take the same, an idea has a logical form. You see? Now I could take the logical form away from learning. I'll show you the same logical form somewhere else. There are only a certain amount of logical forms that the human mind can go through. In learning, you don't go through a new type of logical form that you do in studying any other area. So there are X amount of logical forms. Let's say there are 15 types of logical maneuvers, right? So if I show you a maneuver in learning, it's not the pshat that you didn't... not the pshat that it's a new maneuver. You've seen the maneuver before, but you haven't seen how it works in here, over here, right? Now, if I would take this maneuver and abstract it, so you put it into another area, and you would enjoy it the same way, then you just enjoy, and your enjoyment is related to the maneuver, not to the idea that was uncovered behind the maneuver. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? The basic error was an assumption. The assumption was that the assumption was taken up in the ambiguity of enjoyment of knowledge. That's why I say a person, a professor, who enjoys the way the body works, hey, that's nice, nice maneuver. I say that is not the enjoyment that the Rambam would have of studying the body. When the Rambam studied the body, he enjoyed understanding the reality of behind, the reality of how it works, not just the maneuver. So anybody, so you see a machine also has a certain maneuver. See? Not the maneuver, but the reality behind it. He's interested in understanding how did God create this entity? How is it, oh, he made it, this is the way it works. It's the reality behind the physical perceptions that he enjoys, because he sees he's getting closer to the real reality as he gets closer to the ideas. Yeah. Intelligence, a chop. You know what I mean? A chop. You know what a chop is? Certain things can't translate a chop. Can't translate a chop. President, hey, that's a chop. Wow, that's a chop. You know? So you're here in business, a guy did a deal, like, hey, that's a chop. It's tremendous. Right? Now, I want to understand, does the man enjoy a new reality when he hears the chop, or he enjoys the chop as a certain maneuver? What does he enjoy?
It's something new to him. It's
a maneuver, but there's no new reality that he's done covering over here. There's nothing here that's going to change his life. You know what I mean? All right. I can just enjoy going through the maneuvers. There's X amount of maneuvers. You go through the Mishnah, you see 2-3 maneuvers. The Gemara adds 4 maneuvers to every maneuver in the Mishnah. And Taisa adds 6 more to the maneuvers of the Gemara. So you come after you finish and say, wow, it's a fantastic thing. The whole thing could be false. It's nothing to do with it. I'm not interested. But it's nice. The maneuvers. You see? Can't a person enjoy that? A person, that's what we mentioned before.
You
start Rabbi's name. What was his name? The guy. That's right. So he mentioned before a case. The guy, he wants to sell his on my bar, right? But he enjoyed learning, right? I'm sure the man appreciated it. A person cannot sit down and force himself to learn through shots. It's too big an undertaking. It's something, I'm sure the guy had some appreciation for the maneuvers. But to him, it wasn't a reality. There was no reality there in shots. The only thing was it's nice, it's logical. He enjoyed the logics of it. There's a certain enjoyment in logical maneuvers. Now, I say that enjoyment of logical maneuvers is not the enjoyment of Torah. That's not the enjoyment of Lishma. The enjoyment of Lishma is the uncovering of the realities behind the halacha. In other words, halacha to him is a reality. It's not just an artificial system. Just a second, 1 second. It's not an artificial system. It's a realistic thing. It's something created by God, which has reality. If it's something created by God, which has reality, then the more you understand of how it works, the more you understand of reality, and the more you understand of something that God created. So the enjoyment of reality is what spurs him on to understand it. Not that he wants to see more logical maneuvers. Therefore, a person who maintains that Torah is false. He denies God. So he might enjoy the logical maneuvers of a blot of Gemara. But that is not Ha'arevna, because the object of his enjoyment has nothing to do with reality. And the only Ha'arevna is the fact, the sweetness is from the fact that he enjoys reality. Now, this man doesn't enjoy reality, he enjoys maneuvers, of course. One second. That's what I'm saying. A person cannot be an apikoros and learn Torah Lishma. You'll tell me he enjoys it? What does he enjoy? Does he enjoy uncovering reality? He wouldn't be wasting his time with something he thinks is worthless, right? What he enjoys is there are people who are atheists who spend their life studying the Bible. You know that? I frankly think they're sick. I mean, if I thought something was wrong, I wouldn't spend my life trying to study something that has knowledge. If I felt the Bible was wrong, I'm not going to waste my life. There's other areas of knowledge that you can study. But no, they spend their lives studying the Bible, and Bible critics, right? Now, they do not enjoy if they study something, oh, it's nice. They might enjoy part of it. You know, say, well, it's cute the way the ancient Israelites made up this law. You see, But it's not a reality that they feel they're uncovering. You know what I mean? It's a cute maneuver. Oh, that's nice. You see? That is not considered, that enjoyment is not considered the enjoyment of lishma. The enjoyment of lishma is the enjoyment of the reality. That's the enjoyment. But if a person just enjoys logical maneuvers, they're studying Gemara, that's not learning Gemara. That's not learning Gemara lishma. What? That's a separate question. Well, that is not it. Yes.
What about
Acher? Now what's the question? You want to know about Acher now? All right. Acher, Avos Hashem, and the whole business. Okay, all right. Now, in the Torah, what he did was, the Gemara says that he used to explain to Reb Meir. You know, he's a nice guy.
Follow me to go if you believe in Shabbos, and you can't
I doubt very
down.
Much. Whoa, if he would, I doubt very much that he was. It's like this. That you see, when you study Shoshanagra Chasapara, the Shoshanagra Chasapara is not a game. It is something, it is a system of law, which God says is the ultimate system for society, right? Now that you're dealing with an ultimate reality there. Now the point is, now I don't understand why. What's the logic? How does the law work? What are the principles behind the laws of Shoshanagra Chasapara? These things were created by God. They're not just arbitrary things. They're created by God. And if they're made by God, then we have to try to understand, so far as we can, what the principles behind them are. You see? So therefore, the more he understands of Shoshanagra Chasapara, the more he understands of God's principles. God's principles in terms of society. Of course, the laws of Shoshanagra Chasapara are the laws of God concerning society. So the more he understands insofar as that's concerned, the more he understands the basic principles that God used to lay down the fundamental rules which regulate society, societal order. Right? That's what he enjoys. That's what he enjoys. You see? Interesting. You ever notice in the Rambam always says it in the Pirush Mishnayos, Amar Hashem. Right? Amar Hashem. Amar Hashem. It's not just the Stama Mishnah. It's Amar Hashem. This is what God says. This is we're dealing with the ultimate reality here. So it's the enjoyment is that you're understanding more. You're understanding just like a person understands physics. Just like a person understands physics, he's understanding the reality, right? Over here as well, he's understanding the reality. Well, here's God's chachman so far as physics is concerned. This is God's chachman so far as societal order is concerned. Here's God's chachman so far as mitzvahs and human perfection is concerned. But he's always interested in understanding the reality that lies there. But if a person just enjoys maneuvers, so he could be enjoying chess just as much as Gemara, then that's not really the enjoyment of the reality of the thing. He just enjoys the maneuver. That's not lishma. See? Now in many instances, unfortunately, I mean, I think that this is a common error that many people who, even for religious people who learn, don't understand properly what the enjoyment of the Torah is, you know. And to many of them, they might even have different questions in the mood, even though they act very religious. They have different questions in the mood and everything, so they don't really see that this is the enjoyment. You know what I'm saying? That a person would be in contradiction. Really, the answer is, you gave me the format of the answer. You mentioned before about the contradiction. It's impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible. You're right. It is impossible for a person to smoke on Shabbos and learn Torah Lishma. For a very simple reason. What's the reason? Why is it impossible? It is impossible because if a person maintains, now in our present definition, it's an impossibility. Because if a person maintains that Shabbos are the laws of reality, correct? That God is telling you that this is the reality concerning man. This is the way man must live, and for man to live this way is the most important thing in his life. Now that is the reality, correct? So it is impossible for a person to learn these laws and enjoy the reality, and yet himself do something which is destructive to his own existence. Because man by nature does not do something which is destructive to his existence, but on the contrary, man always tries to enhance his existence and to improve his existence. Masochism notwithstanding. It's different. That's another way of improving his own existence. But the point is, man's essential nature is always to benefit his own existence and to increase whatever life he has. To augment it, not to decrease it. Now, if a person enjoys the ideas of Shabbos because he's enjoying the ultimate reality, how could he possibly violate them? It's a total impossibility. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's impossible for a person to sit down and learn Shabbos Lishma and to appreciate the fact that he's enjoying the reality. This is the reality of life. The mitzvah of Shabbos is one of the most important ideas insofar as human life is concerned and human perfection. He accepts this as a total reality and he enjoys pondering this reality. Simultaneously, the man is going to do something which will destroy him, and it's a total impossibility.
Well, then why wouldn't that hold true for Shabbos?
I agree with you, frankly. If a person would maintain, that's true. Unfortunately, there's a weakness insofar. He has a weakness. I agree there's a weakness. I had a weakness to Shabbos for a simple reason, you see. There are, the Rambam explains that there are hierarchies insofar as violations are concerned. Like you see certain violations of Chayev Misa, and even the different types of Misa, and certain violations of Chayev Chorus, and you have violations of Chayev Malkus. Now the point is, I would say, the Rambam says, for instance, Mitzvah Saseh. So the Rambam says, there isn't a Jew that's not over a Mitzvah Saseh. The Rambam says in Kachem, the Rambam mentions, that is, as far as Kabbalah is concerned. Because the canon, a Jew knows that you have to keep an essay. He says, but even the most religious Jew has to be ever an essay sometime or other in his life. He's ever an essay. There isn't a Jew that's not ever an essay, the Rambam says. He missed Krishna one morning or something. It's impossible. A person can't be ever an essay. He knows that this is a reality. It's true. But the point is that insofar as certain things are concerned, a person might be negligent. But not insofar as a most essential thing is concerned. That's why you have a different hierarchy. Now, Shabbos, which is considered the most essential, which God dictates, tells you, is the most essential halacha in the Torah. Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, most essential halacha of Avodah Zarah. It's impossible to say a man slipped and he served Avodah Zarah. That's an impossibility. Because insofar as that's concerned, all of his emotions, all of his inner self is directed, has to be directed towards this as the most important. It would be like, in other words, it would be tantamount to committing suicide. We say a person might neglect his health, but he's not going to go outright and commit suicide, you see. Now the way the Torah system is set up, there are certain mitzvos which God tells us these mitzvos are the most important, and you can't, if you violate those, it's like you're throwing away the whole Torah. No one in his right mind, no man in his right mind could rationalize and say that, forget about this. Like a person wouldn't just jump off a roof and say, well, look, this is it. And he might smoke a cigarette, which he knows is not healthy, but there's room. In those cases, there's always room for a person to say, well, look, it's not that bad. He can... In regard to certain major offenses, it's an impossibility. Chil Shabbos, it's impossible to say that. Because when God tells you what Shabbos is, and the importance of Shabbos, what the role of Shabbos is, he's telling you, if you don't keep Shabbos, it's violating, it's denial of God, it's denial of my essence. That no man can rationalize, say, well, I'll deny God now, and then I'll do another mitzvah later. See, that's an impossibility. That's why in those areas, if a person does it, you see that he's completely out of reality. You know what I mean? And I say, a person could be ever. I say, it's different levels. Person's ever an essay. Rambam says everybody's ever an essay. One thing, even the Ein Lecha Adam Yisrael says that in his life sometime wasn't ever an essay. The Rambam's talking about an Hashem Ksherim, and the Rambam's eyes are Ksherim. Well, what's a Shabbos? Because though it's possible, but a person can't violate Shabbos. That's an impossibility because this is, God tells you that this is the most important thing. You know what I'm saying? It's impossible for a person to do that. A person might not take the doctor's prescription. Talk about a normal individual. He might not take the doctor's prescription down to the last T. But he certainly, the doctor's home, look, if you drink this, you're dead. He's not going to do that.
What about the person that
is to find the reality. The purpose of Torah is an involvement in searching for the reality behind the halakhic phenomena. If there's no reality to begin with, so then he's not involved in this activity at all. Yes.
Not
level until later. That's the right way. Yeah, no, I do that. In other words, I thought he was asking me, is he on the level at that point? At that point, he's not on the level. But that's the proper method to that's what a person should do. A person should, even if he's learning for the wrong reasons, but the person can't start learning for the right reasons, he has no knowledge. It's a circular, it's a vicious circle. I mean, how's he going to start? He doesn't have the knowledge, so he can't start. He can't start because he doesn't have the knowledge. The thing is that he has to start learning for the wrong reasons. That's a necessity. But as he progresses, his mind should be open so that as the ideas present themselves, as the true ideas present themselves, he should be able to replace his old ideas with new ones. That's the process, you see. But that's the point. Now, the thing is like this. Insofar as that explains why it's actually impossible for a person to learn Torah Lishma and to smoke a cigarette on Shabbos. That's an impossibility, though. So it's physically impossible. Now, next question was, what about Avas Hashem, right? How's Avas Hashem fit in? An Apikoros. The answer is like this. Since we maintain that the reason that the enjoyment of Torah is the enjoyment of understanding the realities, it only makes sense in terms of the framework of ultimate reality, right? Now, if there is a God from which everything proceeds, from which the universe proceeds, from which the Torah proceeds, then he is the ultimate reality of all realities. And every reality that you uncover has to lead you one step closer to the ultimate reality, which is God. Correct? Now, if a person denies God, the reason why, see, most people don't understand, they don't understand Judaism. The reason why Yadus says that a person who denies God is in such a terrible state, it's not because, like one philosopher asked, he said, aren't you afraid that you deny God, you know? He said, look, if I was God, frankly, I wouldn't care if people would deny me, you know? So, I mean, it makes sense what he's saying. I mean, why? It sounds like God is egocentric. And why, she said, why should God punish me as if I deny him? So what? If he's so great, he needs me to recognize him. He's not going to be angry at me. You know what I mean? Which is a true statement. But people don't understand. Yadis doesn't say that God, even though the Torah says God gets angry, I mean, the Rambam explains it in the Old, it doesn't really mean he gets angry. But it's a way of letting us know that certain effects could take place from him, you see? But again, the reason isn't, most people don't revise their childish notions of God. And I think of God, that God really needs us to recognize him. He's going to be upset if we don't. And we're doing him a big favor by recognizing him. If we go against him, he's going to really come down and swat us. You see? That's not the way. That's right. That's a two say, by the way. He says, I see a lot of people walking around denying God. Nothing seems to happen to them. You know? That's what people say. Look, a lot of people aren't religious. Take a poll. People who aren't religious, are they dying any quicker? I mean, so why should I do it? The answer is like this. And Yadis, the reason why the denial of God is such a terrible thing is because it is the furthest, that individual is the furthest away from reality that he possibly could be. Because if a person denies the reality, if a person denies, let's say for instance there's a whole series of things, one based upon the other. If a person denies the top level, so he's missing the top level, but at least he has the next level, he has a foundation. But if a person denies the entire foundation, then everything's built on naught. So therefore, his denial, his lack of recognition of foundation, per se, inherently, is a lack of recognition of everything else. Because everything else is based on that foundation. Do you know what I mean? If things are based, one thing is based on another. If you deny, if the base doesn't exist, then the other things don't exist. Do you understand what I mean? Because everything is dependent upon that base. And that's why the Rambam says that if a person makes a mistake in regard to what he had for breakfast, it's not such a terrible thing, even though it's a bit of reality, but it's not such a terrible thing because not too many things are based on that, you see. But if a person makes a mistake as to what exactly is the most is beneficial to his soul, it's a worse mistake. If he makes a mistake in regard to an angel, he says it's a worse error. And if he makes a mistake in relationship to God, that's the worst possible error. Because God is the reality behind all realities. Now, once you deny that basic reality, so it comes out that you're denying, you, in essence, are furthest away from the ultimate reality because everything ultimately is based on that. A denial of God, and yeah, this is not because God is going to get angry. It's because the man is furthest away from ultimate reality because that is really the reality behind all realities, you see? And everything proceeds from him. You follow what I'm saying? So since that, everything, nothing exists. For instance, Rambam explains, nothing exists without God. So therefore, if a person denies God, it means in the true framework, he's denying existence. You know what I'm saying? His whole idea of existence is distorted because he's maintaining that things exist without God, where the truth of the matter is these things don't have existence. So he's making the most basic errors with regard to the existence of things. Now he's trying to study things which in his framework shouldn't even exist. Do you know what I'm saying? So therefore, the reason why denial of God is considered such a terrible hate is because he is furthest away from reality. And like I explained to you, the enjoyment, the whole idea of Torah Lashma and knowledge in Yadus is that a person should be in line with reality. And in line with reality demands that you must be in line with the reality of all realities, which is God. So the reason why a person who denies God is in such bad shape is not because he's hurting God, but it's because he's so far away from reality. You understand what I mean? That's why it all fits in. That's basically the one idea that... That involves Torah Lashma, and it involves why a person can't do it. And it also involves why Avas Hashem. The question is, why is Avas? What is the most important thing? Avas Hashem or Talmud Torah? What's the answer? What's the most important thing? Avas Hashem or Talmud Torah? The answer is you can't split the two. It's impossible to split the two. Avas Hashem and Talmud. What is Talmud Torah? Talmud Torah is when a person studies Torah, he's attempting to understand the reality. I'll give you an example. With Torah, you'll be able to see it clearly. A person is attempting to understand the reality of Torah. Now, if a person denies God, is there any reality to Torah? So it means he's maintaining there's no reality here. Correct? So what is his... So how can you say he's completely unrelated mentally? In his mental framework, he's completely broken away from reality. How could a person study Torah in an attempt to understand reality when he maintains there is no God, so this whole thing is false? If that's the case, then there's no reality here. He can't be related to reality. The only way it can be related to reality is to maintain that this thing is given by God, which is the ultimate reality. Then he is involved. Then his mind is involved in understanding reality. You know what I mean? Yes. He studies Torah. He has to know that God exists. He has to know that there's an existence of God. That he has to know. But otherwise, why should a person learn Torah if God doesn't exist? It would be a foolish action. See? Even though I wouldn't dissuade anybody from doing that, because I would say that maybe through that, perhaps he would come to learn Torah for the right reason. So whatever reason a person's learning Torah, I would say is good. Not always, though. Chazal say certain times, if three guys out of basement, certain guys, Talmud Shein Hagin, I'll teach them. But at any rate. But there are certain qualifications. But the point remains that when a person learns Torah, the assumption is that he accepts that there's a God. You see? But the point is in his mental framework, these phenomena that he's studying are real. They stem from an ultimate reality, which is God. Otherwise, you cannot say truthfully that the man is studying anything that has real validity. You see? You know what I mean? Unless he's trying to study the minds of a society that created some weird type of a system. You know what I mean? But if he is to relate to, you know, I'm speaking about the way certain Bible critics study the Torah. They look at it as a weird system, and they say that we're just studying these things. But basically, if his studies are to be related to any type of reality, he has to posit that this thing is real. Why is it real? It's only real because it's given by God. If there's no ultimate reality behind it, then it's a worthless piece of paper. You see? Do you know what I'm saying? It has to be that way. So naturally, he's not involved in the true pursuit of knowledge. True pursuit of knowledge means he gets closer and closer to God. How does he get closer and closer? Because the more he studies of God's ideas, the closer he gets to the greater knowledge he has of God's actions. And the greater knowledge a person has of the way God works, then the greater knowledge the only way a person can have knowledge of God is to see the way God thinks. Like Einstein used to say, interesting, he'd say, I enjoy seeing the way God thinks. You see? But the point is that's basically what Torah has been doing before Einstein came along, for years. I mean, the ideas of Torah are to show man the way God thinks. The way God thinks insofar as Meidon Lachavera is concerned, the way God thinks insofar as mitzvahs are concerned, the way God thinks insofar as setting up the halachic system is concerned. But it's all the way God thinks. I mean, this is the purpose of Omar Hashem, like the Rambam says. This is the purpose of Talmud Torah. You see? If a person does not, it's true, a person might not, when he starts to learn, he doesn't have really that much of a knowledge of the way God thinks because he's just starting. But as he involves himself more in Torah, so he'll have a greater perception of the way God is. God, he knows that God is not physical. He knows all the Ikar. And now he sits down and he studies, you see? And the base of the Yigal Mikar, he said that it's just belief. I would say it shouldn't be just belief. Really, it should be based on more than just belief, more than just a feeling. It should be based upon the knowledge of Torah Misinai, which is the basic demonstration that that God gave us the Torah. It should be based upon at least that much knowledge. It shouldn't be a second. It's called second. We call it secondary knowledge. You know, it's not a primary knowledge. You didn't experience it, but you should at least understand the reasons why we accept Torah Misinai. You know what the base of Torah Misinai is. That much you should have. You see. And then from there, he proceeds to get closer and closer to God. How do we get closer to God? By seeing more and more the way God thinks. How do we see more and more the way God thinks? You see from his Torah, it's true. A person can see it from other areas of God's Chachma too. But essentially, the Rambam says that Torah must come first. Torah is most beneficial for an individual to learn Torah first. Yes. Torah, I'll tell you why. Because the truth of the matter is that is, you see, the purpose, God created man for one purpose, not to suffer in this world, but to enjoy this world. And not to enjoy the physical part of this world necessarily, for its own sake, but to enjoy the physical insofar as it's necessary for us to improve ourselves so that we can have the real enjoyment. I often say, like a person, something happens good, a person makes himself $100,000, say, God was with me, it was wonderful, you know? But if he lost $100,000, all right, he'll say, look, Baruch Dynamis, I lost it. But he always measures whether God's with him or not in terms of whether he has his physical benefits. Why doesn't he ever think in terms of his spiritual benefits? Why doesn't he ever think that way? He'll say, look, this happened to me, Baruch Hashem, this happened to me. Because of that, I was able to break a mitzvah. So God was really good to me. He really did something which caused me to break away from a mitzvah, which is such a terrible thing. And if this situation wouldn't have worked out this way, it never would have happened. When Yaakov said, Holakim ha-roya yisim me'edi v'arayim hazeh, you know, Amalach HaGadol Simi Kol Ra, he wasn't referring to just the physical needs, the fact that he was alive. It's true, he had to have physical needs in order to exist, that's true. But more important than that was the way the Ashgacha, the way he saw, the way the Ashgacha worked with him, so that he was able to perceive Chachma, is able to be born in a situation where he could have knowledge, he's able to go learn Nishem Ve'ever, he's able to have the children that he could be Isaac and Tara with. All these ideas, these are the most important, the greatest good that God does for us. Yet we always think in terms of God's Ashgacha, in terms of only the physical good. I mean, this is a big mistake, a big error, you see. The ultimate good is certainly the most important thing. That's the way we should think in terms of Ashgacha, not in terms of just physical. And doesn't keep the mitzvahs. Getting back to the original question.
Right, we didn't do the reverse case.
Okay. A person who learns and doesn't keep any of the mitzvahs is further away from reality than a person who keeps the mitzvahs and doesn't learn. That's the way. Why is it that way?
Yeah.
Why is it that way? For a very simple reason. Because a person who learns and doesn't keep the mitzvahs, what is he maintaining? He might enjoy the maneuvers, but he certainly can't enjoy the reality. He can't tell me this man's enthralled by the reality and he's committing suicide. That's impossible. So obviously he has no enjoyment of reality whatsoever. So therefore he's completely nichras. That's why he has no chelek no labah. But an individual who can't learn, he's not such an astute scholar. But the point is, at least he's in contact with reality in terms of recognition of what the reality is. He knows that God said that this is good for me to do, it's good to put on tefillin every day. He is definitely closer to reality than the individual who's a big chacham in learning. Definitely closer. That's why he has a chelek no labah. That's what the Mishnah says. The question is, where do you draw the line? How much knowledge? Knowledge, of course, is the most important thing. That's why V'hai Refna is only by Torah. Because through Torah, that was your question. Torah is the most direct route. And you mentioned before that the Torah is like the laser beam, you have to direct it. You're right. The reason is, the other things are necessary in order to perfect ourselves so that we can learn, so that our soul could be in a state that we can learn properly. What state is that? That's in a state where we are unaffected by emotion, so that we can see the truth and appreciate and enjoy the truth. But a person has bad emotions, so he can't do that. That's why you have to have all the mitzvahs guide a person. But the essential contact between man and God is when he's studying Torah, when he's understanding, when he's perceiving. That's why you have to have all the mitzvahs guide a person. But the essential contact between man and God is when he's studying Torah, when he's understanding, when he's perceiving and enjoying the benefits of God. Now that is the purpose. That's the purpose of our existence, to enjoy these benefits. You see, that's the purpose, and that's why V'hai Refna is mentioned in that mitzvah precisely, because that is the greatest mitzvah. But getting back to this question, that's the reason. Again, the reason is because an individual who is, the question, of course, is where do you draw the line? A person, what level of knowledge does a person have a chelek olam haba? So that the Mishnah Sanhedrin draws the line over there. A person kosher l'shulchan aruch haba, as long as he believes basically that there is an ultimate reality, he's connected to reality to that extent. And he knows that there is some reality behind everything, and that this is, he keeps Shabbos, he keeps mitzvahs, essential things. So therefore, this man is, he learns Krishma Shachar Svarvis, he enunciates the ideas of God. God is not physical, and God relates to man, and is the God's unity, that he's not corporeal. I mean, these ideas he knows, so he's related to reality. Don't you see that the whole purpose of this, all these enunciations and the mitzvahs, is that a person should be related, his soul should be related to the reality, at least in a minimal amount. What's the way he relates to it in a minimal amount? Kriyashma Shachar Svarvas, with Kavon, Rakavon is nothing. His basic connection to reality is what gives him the Chelek Nalam Abba. But if a person is not Bikaris and learns Torah all the time, he's not related to reality at all, because insofar as he's concerned, the whole source of reality is missing. So insofar as he's concerned, based upon his premise, his false ideas, there shouldn't even be any world, because the world really is contingent upon God's existence, and God doesn't exist. So therefore there's no world insofar as he's concerned. That's how far away he is from reality in terms of existence, in terms of reality of existence. You see? So that's why he's further away. That's why he has no chelek olam haba. It's machlokes where if a person believes that God is physical, but he believes that why does he believe God is physical? Is because it says so in the Torah. Because Torah says Yad Hashem, so he takes it literally. So the Rambam says such a person is not Bikaris. Comes according to the Rambam, he's a min. It was a min, right?
Right.
So he has no chelek olam haba. And the Ravid says no, it's not true. He says such a person is to be exonerated because it really wasn't his fault, because he believes in the Torah, and he read these psukim in the Torah, and he read a lot of Chazal, Midrashim, which seemed to point to this. Yeah, Mishav is right. So there's a question, that's a machlekes rishonim, whether a person like this, what status is a person like this on? Why? Because it's a question of essential and accidental belief. See, essentially, this man accepts what the Torah says. but accidentally it comes out that he's making a mistake. But it's not that he really is convinced inherently that God is physical. He's convinced the Torah is true. Now, based upon that, he's assuming that God is physical. Now, the Rambam maintains, I don't care what caused the assumption. As long as he has that idea, he's so far away from reality that he's completely, he's a min. You see? He's too far away from reality. But the Ravid says, no, he's not. You can't say that this man is far away from reality, because the truth of the matter is he relates to the Torah. But he's made a mistake insofar as what the Torah intended. If the Torah would come and say, now, I want you to, this is not what I meant, he would definitely retract. So it's not an inherent mistake, it's an accidental mistake. You know what I mean? It's an accidental mistake. That's what Flagler's remember. That's the same thing you're asking me over here.
Person, yeah,
but if the person's convinced, well, first of all, if the person's convinced that his reason is so right that it can't be wrong, I mean, I'd say he doesn't have an idea of God, because, I mean, God's knowledge he has to accept is greater than his, so he has to accept the fact that it could be wrong. I mean, if he accepts the fact that it could be wrong,
he accepts the fact it could be wrong, but at the moment he feels that these are...
Why also? The guy cannot study certain areas of Torah. Why? I mean, it's a good question why he cannot study certain areas of Torah. But the point involved is this. The point involved is that since the guy, who a guy could be in a very high level, a guy could be in a very high level, he could have a bar, and he could mekayim avas Hashem, there's no question about it. So the thing is like this, that if he reaches the level where, if he reaches that level and he realizes that the source of reality dictates that he does not evolve himself in this knowledge, then he has to accept this. This is the reality. In other words, the reality as far as he's concerned is that this knowledge is not for him. He must accept it. If he doesn't accept it, he's denying reality.
He's it's all...
What? He's let him right. Come again. That's right, he has a choice. That he would convert. I mean, there are many to hold that Moshe Mashiach, the world convert. All the men will convert. The Yadus. That's right.
Unless he's going out.
Because what we have to remember is that Yadus is the religion. Basically, what is Yadus? It's religion of knowledge of reality. That's what it is. That's basically what it is. So, insofar as you. What?
Something.
And he has knowledge of halacha. There's no question about it. This man is a great. Great scholar. But the point is that it is not related to reality in any way. So on the contrary, instead of if he enjoys the reality of Sam Chayim, but if he just enjoys it because of the maneuvers, or he enjoys it in order to gain the prestige, in order to gain honor or fame or money or whatever ulterior motive he has, then on the contrary, it becomes Sam Avos. Why does it become Sam Avos? Because apparently Chazal held that a person like this is going to be in constant conflict. So he's going to be in conflict. Because on the one hand, even if a person enjoys the maneuvers of Torah, but he doesn't accept it as a reality, he's going to be in conflict. Because on the one hand, there is a certain enjoyment there, which does draw a person naturally towards appreciation of Torah, you see? On the other hand, he denies it. So he's caught in conflict. Like the Rav one time told a story that there was a, professor that used to, I forgot his name, unfortunately, that used to work out the theories for Einstein. Once Einstein had the theories, he used to work them out in practical mathematics. He was a mathematician. So when the Rav was studying in Heidelberg, so he called him in one night. Big professor, so he called him in one night. So he came into his room, and the man was learning Gemara. So, he said, because I used to learn, he learned Rav Chaim. He said, and when I used to see the way he opened up the blot and the way it was so beautiful, he says, I was drawn to it and I just can't pull myself away from it. He says, every day I have to close my door and I sit and learn. He said, and it kills me, it destroys me. And I have no choice. That's what the Rav told us story about. So this is Zochel, Zochel Naslo Sam Chaim, Lo Zochel Naslo Sam Amavis. That's the case, that's the pshat. The man is torn, On the one hand he sees it, on the other hand it's not a reality. It's a total conflict. Like the beauty of it would make the person want to accept it, to appreciate it as a reality. On the other hand, the other side of him rejects it. So he's caught in a total conflict. He sits and learns in conflict every day.
So, you know, has a different concept of reality.
That there is something behind the scenes. So the more knowledge you have, the more behind the scenes you go. First you see physical things, right? But then when you start investigating them, you start seeing principles. Laws start emerging. And as you go further and further, eventually you'll come to God. See, that's the ultimate reality behind all the realities. Everything we see is just on the surface. As you go deeper, you penetrate, you get closer and closer to the ultimate reality, which is God. That's right, going back to the source, right? That's exactly what it is. Whereas most people who by nature, and the Rambam says the reason why people are that way is because our senses, the physical lusts are so great that you see the when a person involves himself, an interesting Rambam, the Rambam on the Maran Avichai, when he talks about man can control his passions, so the Rambam mentions, he says that people who, he speaks about different degrees of perfection, and he says people who are involved in physical taivas all the time, he says to them they're far away from God, far away from the idea of God. Why are they far away from the idea of God? Because let them stop for a minute and think about God. And a lot of times we find the Mori, he says, somebody asks him a question, he says, leave your lusts for a moment, he says, and go back to the real reality, he says, maybe you'll be able to understand it. What's the pshat? Because the pshat is, the Rambam maintains an interesting thesis. He maintains like this, that since when a person enjoys physical enjoyments, it's not that a person just enjoyed it and it's all over. The point is, a person wants to believe that what he enjoys is real. It's inherent in man's nature, that he wants to accept it as a reality. Now, the moment you want to, because you enjoy it, and enjoyment tells you this is real, this is something real, this is great. A person just says, this is really something. What does it mean? The expression isn't just an arbitrary expression. It means that a person, by nature, wants to believe that his enjoyments are in line with reality. It's a part of man. So if a person enjoys the physical, he wants to believe the physical is the ultimate reality. You see? A person enjoys Chochmas Hashem, he's away from the physical because he starts seeing that this isn't the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is far away from his physical. So physical pleasures render a person, make a person smaller in the sense that they make him accept, they change his framework of reality, as you're mentioning. In America, United States Americans today, what is reality? Reality is physical. Why? Because all their pleasures are physical. Pleasures are physical, then that has to be, then the reality has to be physical. But years ago, even not among the Jews, among philosophers, you had philosophers who recognized who lived that way. I mean, today you have a lot of people who call themselves philosophers, but the question is, do they really live like philosophers, like Socrates lived, I mean, or Aristotle, in a way in which they were completely the physical, they weren't Jews, but the physical, they left the physical. Essentially, they were concerned with the Chochmah. Why? Because they recognized that there's something here behind the physical which is more real than these things. And once a person recognizes that, then he looks down at his physical enjoyments. Because the part of the enjoyment is that this is reality. If you don't have that, then you can't really enjoy it. See? Yeah, the person that's tzaddik only eats insofar as he eats to benefit his body. And everything he does is only for the purpose, either he does it for sustaining the min, so, or he does it for the purpose of sustaining himself in the proper way. Everything is done only for the reason that he, in order that he should be able to involve himself to the highest degree in the world of in the real world of realities. That, of course, is a tremendous level. I mean, for us, it's a very distant thing. We have to perceive it, understand that is really the highest level. See, that's what you mean. That's correct. That's right. But that individual, the physical, will not be deterrent, because the physical is not doing for its own sake. But I'm saying a person who really enjoys the physical for his own sake, there's a tendency, he wants to believe it's real. If he enjoys his Cadillac, he's going to say, well, this is a fantasy. This is reality. That solid steel that I feel over here, and this is the reality. He's not going to walk away and say, this is a phantasm. I mean, there won't be any enjoyment in it. I mean, this is one of my fantasies that I have over here. No, he wants to believe it's real, see? So in the way a person lives affects his framework of reality. That's why in our country today, the reality is the physical. The Yadus maintains the opposite. There I'll mention again, I mean, even an individual like Einstein, he didn't have Yadus, but to him also, if you ever read about his life, you see how little he valued money. I mean, how little he cared for physical taivas. And basically his whole world was thought, because he appreciated he was in line with this, what we were discussing, by his own nature. It was a remarkable thing. But I use it as an illustration to show you that there is such a thing even without a person. In other words, a person can, since it is true, a person can come to this state even without knowing Yadus. Because Yadus, since Yadus is real, it has to be based on certain real ideas. So a person who never knew of Yadus should also be able to come to some of the basic ideas, if it's a reality, see? That's why I use the illustration of Einstein. Einstein himself didn't care much for physical pleasures, physical enjoyments. I mean, people used to, if you read his biography, say people used to think that he doesn't enjoy life, but it's not true. On the contrary, he had greater enjoyments than we have, and he was able to see that they were greater, and that's why he threw away these small enjoyments that we have. Yeah.
Through the intellect.
That's right.
I mean, every day to reach such a level, it's a fantastic life. It's a life which is constant enjoyment. How often does a person in life have such enjoyment? He has to do so many things in order to be able to have those few moments that a person really enjoys life. The moments are rare. They're few and far between. As you get older, you start recognizing it, right? When you're younger, it feels going to be... Yeah.
How does it work? What's the psychology of the Toch, Shalolishmo, Bolishmo? How does it work? Because a person, Laolam, Yasok, Adam, Betaro, Mitzvahis, Afilu, Shalolishmo, Shemitech, Shalolishmo, Bolishmo. The person should do a Torah mitzvah, even Shalolishmo. A person that comes to shul, why? Because he's ashamed, his father will see if he's Friday night, he's not in shul, we'll holler at him, he comes to shul. Shalolishmo, 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 Bolishmo. So he wants to know two things. He wants to know how it works, and he wants to know how and why mitzvah. How does right? Right, what do you say? Someone wanted to give a crack. Go ahead. Three cases. There's a case where the child who has no ulterior motives whatsoever. That's case one. Case two is where the person has an ulterior motive. And case three is Lakanta. Case three is Lakanta. Okay.
We were trying
to. Does have an ulterior motive? You're right. Because he's learning for the love of the parents, you mean. That's love of the parents. That's true. That's a good point. The child has, in his framework, has an ulterior motive. He has a free choice in the matter. You know what I mean? It's not a democratic situation. He has to. He's coerced to. There's a difference in coercion and between going after a motive. That would be the child is coerced. Whereas an adult that wants to learn for respect and recognition, you can't say it's coerced. I mean, he's being motivated by a specific idea. There's a difference. Now, coercion is not motivation. I mean, you got to differentiate practically from coercion and motivation.
Why
are you telling me this? He says, he says, why does it say la'olam yasek? He says, because a person should learn shalom l'shmo. Because if he doesn't learn Shalom Lishmo, he says, then he'll never be able to. He says, in order to become a London, he says, the guy has to learn Shalom Lishmo.
It's not that way.
It's not that way. Yeah, yeah. That's what he has.
You
got to have it. Yeah. That's what he said. It's that way. He says, it has to be that way. He says, then later you can become Lishmo. Later when you can. But I. That's what he held that way.
Is that
the interesting psychological fact. Psychological fact is that the psychologists say that the reservoir of a person's emotional of the psychic energy is in the love of the self, the overestimation of self, and that's the reservoir from where everything is tapped. You see, so that's why they say, they give an example, when a person is in love, they say that his ego is depleted because everything is in relation to the love object. You know what I mean? And he completely neglects himself, or he doesn't care about himself anymore. Because that's right. Because all the energy that formerly was going into this reservoir is now being removed and going into this object. Basically, that's what the highest level of yadus is. That like the Rambam mentions over there, he says that's the mushel of Yavas Hashem, mushel of Shira Shirim, all the like Kecholas Avon. That's why they give that marshal. That's the marshal. Yes.
I have a
different
house.
I'll
like
say, oh, so that's I just say one more thing to this. That's why it says, Ve'ish ma'ish ya'onof mikol adam ha'shal p'nei adama. It wasn't just a pshat. Of course, because he was always standing in God's presence, that naturally the self became unimportant. But psychologically, from a psychological mechanistic point of view, how it worked was, it meant that there was no reservoir of energy to go back to the self anymore by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why it was on of me for Lord Moshe Rabbeinu. Right?
Cool.
That's why that was the highest praise. That's why that was the highest praise. Okay, basically what they're saying, I think you're also saying the same thing. Just a matter of expression. You're giving a description of it. You're giving the first basic idea, and he's giving the underlying premise. The premise, the thing is like this. Seems though, anyway. Yeah, the premise, the bonus stuff in the premise. The basic premise is this, that in man, by nature, there is this ability to appreciate the good. And that's a basic premise that you have to posit. Otherwise, how are you going to say it's the good if it's not the good in relationship to man's nature? So you must maintain that in relationship to man's nature, there is... He has the ability to perceive and to enjoy the good, right? So therefore, if the good is thrust upon him, even for other motives, because of other motives, he will nevertheless be able to appreciate and to benefit from the good. So that learning Torah, since that's the good, while he does it for other reasons, nevertheless, experientially, he'll be able to see the enjoyment that he gets out of it, the benefit that he, because naturally, man is created for this good. You see, that's true. That's correct. That's the basic premise that he's saying. But there's one proviso.
What's the provision?
Yeah, but what's the provision? The universe. Never mind the context. Now what? The provision is actually like this. The provision is, as long as the man's nature has not been corrupted to the point where he is not in line, since we maintain a person as Bechira, right? Bechira means he's in control of his nature, right? Now, since he has Bechira, he has free will, it is possible for him to corrupt his soul to the point where the good will seem like an evil to him. See, it is possible to have such corruption. See, in that situation, then lishma will not, then they'll never reach lishma. Lishma will never be achieved. You see? So then there's no reason for him to learn shlo lishma, because he'll never reach lishma. But that is lakanta. And lakanta means where his nature is so corrupt that there is nothing that has any value besides this exclusive motivation. It's an exclusive motivation to destroy another, for which all truth and all ideas are completely forgotten. Oh, yeah. That's what we mentioned. That's that one last time. How that works exactly. But that's the basic idea. So therefore, that's the point. As long as it's not corrupted, then he will be able to appreciate it. And when he appreciates it, it's quite possible that once he appreciates it, he'll start to reevaluate his motivations and learn for the true motive. That's the bolish mal. Right? That's basically what you want to say. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. By the midbar, it says that they hated the mon. So he says the mon was really a superior food, but they disliked the superior food because they were destroyed. They were used to an inferior food. So if a person is given inferior foods, he says that he will learn to like those inferior foods. He says, and then when he's giving something that's really good, it will be distasteful to him, because he's giving an example of a person being corrupted by nature. See, today, that's what they found out today, that we eat the wrong foods. And that's why the American palate is in such a way that results in the heart disease. We're going to eat the wrong fruit. Yes, go ahead. I have to say that there's an enjoyment in understanding reality. That's right. The basic enjoyment. That's what you have to say. You know what I mean? That's the basic enjoyment. There is also an enjoyment in the air. The reason why you have the enjoyment, in other words, the enjoyment of the maneuvers is only as a result of the enjoyment of the reality. See? It's tied into man's enjoyment of reality, because that ability to maneuver is tied in very closely with understanding reality. So there is an enjoyment. But you're right, if a person would be corrupted, then it would be a chess player. What's his name? Fischer.
Yeah.
That's the corruption. It is corruption. The man is just interested in maneuvers. That has nothing to do with knowledge and reality. It has nothing to do with chakma. Nothing. Not that you enjoy the logical maneuvers of learning, correct?
No,
but that you enjoy the discovery of the reality of the ideas behind the learning phenomena. Okay? There's a difference. The difference would be playing chess. A person plays chess, you can't say he's involved in the chokhmah, because he just enjoys the maneuvers and the ego of winning. Most people don't enjoy losing. But he enjoys the ego of winning plus the maneuvers, you see? But there's no conceptual discovery is made. Now the idea of learning, the enjoyment of learning, is the appreciation of the conceptual ideas that exist behind the halachic phenomena. Just like a physicist enjoys understanding the conceptual ideas that exist behind the physical phenomena. Right? Okay, that's our definition of lishma. Now a question was raised, should a person, what was the question again? Should a person work on this?
Yes, should a person, well, or if we already had it,
to Avos Hashem. But since God is the reality behind all realities, and His love is the love of reality, so He enjoys seeing more, greater and greater universals. Okay. Now, as again,
a person on a level where he enjoys learning because of the maneuvers, but not because of reality.
Right.
Should should a person make an effort to bring himself to that level where he enjoys because of reality, or should that eventually come naturally?
Well, let me put it this way. The person cannot teach himself to love a certain thing. Appreciation cannot be taught. Appreciation has to be a natural natural type of predilection. He has to have natural, enjoyment inherently. You can't teach yourself to enjoy it. You see? The only thing you can do in terms of Lishma is to remove all disturbing factors. That's the only thing you can do. One of them is a person's education. Which usually has to be, the effects of which usually have to be removed. Because the person has been taught, that learning is painful and that it's distasteful. So he has to relearn that. What he has to do is allow himself to observe that he does appreciate certain ideas and that this really is a good and enjoyable activity. He has to allow that. He has to allow himself to see that because he's been taught that it isn't an enjoyable activity. See, this is something which must be necessary and that which must be done, and it's something which a person must actively concentrate upon. Because if he doesn't, he's not going to notice these things. See, he has to be able to see why he thinks he dislikes it and the actual appreciation that he has. He has to allow himself to enjoy it. If he's just going to learn just because he has to learn, so then he's never going to get the appreciation. Learn for 40 years that way. He'll never have the appreciation of learning. He'll never restart the Shema. So he has to stop for a moment and stop learning because he has to learn because of the obligations, but rather observe that he does enjoy, he does appreciate the ideas themselves. If he doesn't actively concentrate on that process, then of course he'll never have any appreciation, because all the appreciation that he naturally can have usually has been taken out of an individual by the time he's gone through the educational process. So he has to relearn this enjoyment. That's one thing that's very important to do. But you cannot actively, positively, teach yourself to appreciate the chokhmah. Because a person has the innate appreciation is there. And you can't increase it inherently. You can only remove all distractive forces. That's the only way that a person can deal with it. See? But in other words, must he actively work up and work on it? Yes, he must actively work on it indirectly. That's the answer. Yes. There's no way that a person can just force himself to enjoy anything. And there's an inherent amount of enjoyment of reality built into every person. You can't... there's no way you can force it. The only thing you can do is involvement in it tends to increase it. Appreciation of reality... And whatever, insofar as he has that appreciation, he has to remove all obstacles and enjoy it. And the more he involves himself in it, the greater the enjoyment becomes. You have to understand, the greater the enjoyment becomes for a few reasons. One reason is because the higher a person goes in theoretical formulation, the more he is dealing with reality. The more, because he's dealing with the reality behind the realities, you keep on going further. So there's more of the substance of which you're enjoying in existence, you see? So that's another reason why it's necessary for a person to rob himself in it. But you can't increase your basic... There is a limit. There is a limit that a person has for such an appreciation. And insofar, that's what differentiates the mankind. That's what differentiates one individual from another. That appreciation is a big factor. Many people think it's mind that's a big factor. Mind is a factor, but mind is not the biggest factor. I think this is a more inclusive factor. The appreciation... Enjoyment is a greater factor than the intelligence. A person has a terrific mind, great mind, but he doesn't have the appreciation of the chokhmah. He's not going to involve himself in it unless he has other reasons. But the actual appreciation of chokhmah is a separate ability, separate thing. Okay.